Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 400th episode of Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Yes, I did say this is 400. It's going to be a podcast that is for multiple graduate specialties, so please stay tuned. I do want to invite, however, MBA applicants to our next masterclass. If you're debating whether to apply round three of this year or round one of next year, this masterclass is for you. You have a really good question, and there are pros and cons to each position. Join me on January 14th for this masterclass when I'm going to go deep into the question of who should apply round three and who should wait until next year. This is our first webinar of 2021, and you can reserve your seat for this free webinar at accept.com/round3. Again, reserve your seat for this free webinar at accept.com/round3. So I said this is a milestone, episode 400. I really do feel it's a milestone, and I've decided to do a little bit of a different kind of a show. It'll all be solo. It's just me today. And I'm going to discuss two important developments of 2020 and their impact on applicants and implications for you as you apply, how you should deal with them. I also want to speak at the very end on a more personal and hopefully thoughtful perspective, a little bit higher level, more strategically, share some thoughts as we are starting to see the light at the end of the pandemic tunnel. And yes, this is a brand new year. And the perspective I'm going to share will reflect a little of what I've learned from Rabbi Lord Dr. Jonathan Sacks, a favorite writer, thinker, and teacher of mine, who sadly passed away in November. His writings have relevance to many and many situations, but specifically to grad school applicants, and I'm dedicating this podcast in his memory. Okay, so the first development that you folks need to be aware of, I'm sure you are aware of it, is the surge. And no, I don't mean the surge in COVID cases that we are tragically experiencing as I record this. It's mid-December. And when I listened to the radio this morning, it said that there's zero capacity in IC units in Los Angeles, which is where I live. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the surge in applicants to graduate programs across the board that is occurring this fall and winter. What do I mean by that? Well, let's give some examples. In December, NPR reported that 18% more applicants applied via AAMC to medical school than did a year earlier. Some school-specific numbers, Stanford, which also went test optional, reported a 50% increase in applications. Boston University reported a 27% increase in applications. And when I spoke with Paul White of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in October for Admission Straight Talk's 392nd episode, which you can find at accept.com/392, he reported at that point an increase of 25% in applications at that point in the cycle. Business schools are also experiencing a surge in applications. Now, they were experiencing a decline in applications that seemed to end for most schools with round two of last year and the recession's onset in March of 2020. They have also seen a surge in applications. The stats for last year ended up with 67% of MBA programs reporting increased applications per GMAC. The stats for this year aren't out yet, but news reports, whether from the Wall Street Journal, Poets and Quants, my conversations with admissions directors all talk about increased application volume and significantly increased application volume. Law school applications have also soared. Through December 15th, LSAC reports a 38% increase in applicants, not applications, but applicants year over year, and a whopping 57.4% increase in applications year over year, and an almost 62% increase in applications over 2 years ago. 12 out of 200 law schools reported a 100% increase in applications, and 106 out of 200 law schools reported an increase of between 50 and 99%, which means that well over half of law schools are reporting more than a 50% increase in applications. Now, LSAC conservatively warns that it's too early in the cycle to draw conclusions, since at that time, this time last year, 34% of applications had been counted. However, I am concluding that with roughly a third of applications in, presumed to be in at this point in time, that the final numbers may not be this eye-popping, as I just cited, but there will be a marked increase in applications to the nation's law schools. Various graduate specialties are also up, for example, master's in public health. ABC News, citing data from the Association of Schools and Programs of Public Health, which has over 100 MPH programs participating in its common application service, reports a 20% increase in applications this year. Data science programs are mushrooming. So, okay, that's the news. What can you do about it? We try and be very practical here at Admissions Straight Talk. I don't like to just raise problems. I also like to suggest you ways to deal with them. Well, one thing I think you need to do, particularly this year, is be realistic. Apply mostly to programs where you are likely to get accepted. If your dream school is a stretch, I'm not saying you have to give up on your dreams. You can still apply to it. It's okay. And you might get in because you really, really want to and you can really demonstrate fit. But for the rest of the programs, make sure you're being realistic. Number two, submit outstanding applications that show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. Number three, apply to additional schools that support your educational and professional goals. So often I see applicants write, oh, I want top 10 or M7 or T14 or top 20, whatever it is. Really, that's okay if you get in. That's fine. And there can be reasons to want those schools. But beyond that, also think about what is your specific direction in your field and which schools are really good in that area, even if overall they aren't rated quite as high or ranked quite as high. That way you apply more thoughtfully, more strategically, and more successfully. And finally, demonstrate interest in the schools that you are applying to. Now, how can you do that? You know, you're filling in the application. Isn't that a demonstration of interest? Well, yes, it is. But there's more you can do. Obviously, every applicant is demonstrating interest in that way. First of all, make sure that your application shows fit with the program's strengths, its values, and its mission. Also, attend online events for applicants. That's another way to show. You can't visit now, right? But attend those online events because doing so is a demonstration of interest, but it also will mean that you have better information that you can include in your application or when you interview or in updates. Try and interact and communicate with current students and recent alumni so that your application can reflect insight and your efforts and your genuine informed interest in that particular program. All right, so that was topic number one, the surge. Topic number two is the availability this year of test optional programs and test waivers. Who should take advantage of test waivers and who shouldn't? Well, there has been a trend to go test optional in undergrad admissions for several years, but it really hadn't influenced grad admissions until the COVID shutdown. Suddenly, applicants could not take the MCAT, the LSAT, the GMAT, or the GRE. Within a few weeks of the shutdown, the GRE, the GMAT, and a little later, the LSAT were mostly available online. The MCAT remained offline and became available only at the end of June in 2020. Now, some schools at the time decided they were going to expand the number of tests they were accepting. Others decided to allow you to apply and then get the test score in. The schools were trying to accommodate the situation as much as you were trying to deal with it. But let's look at what happened in a few different fields. So in medical schools, most medical schools, the overwhelming majority, are continuing to require the MCAT. But some, notably Stanford and the University of Wisconsin, I should say a few, have gone MCAT optional for this application cycle. In the law school world, I couldn't find any law schools, LSAC law schools, that are now test optional. In business schools, it was a little bit different. The trend over the last 10 years has been for business schools to accept an increasing number of tests. The trend started first with the GRE. Again, it was about 10, 12 years ago. And last year, some schools started accepting the executive assessment for their full-time MBA programs, even though that test was originally designed for executive MBA programs. When the shutdown hit, schools started accepting a broader collection of exams, LSAT, MCAT, SAT, ACT. I think one was accepting the Chinese University Entrance Exam. And some schools waived the GMAT for the end of last cycle. This year, more schools, though I still don't think it's a wave in my opinion, are going test optional or allowing applicants to request test waivers. A few examples would be MIT Sloan, Ross, UVA Darden. there's a list actually on the Accepted website where you can see, you know, we're trying to keep it updated, where you can see what MBA programs are test optional or are offering waivers. Now, many other grad programs have gone test optional or allow applicants to apply for waivers. Many MPH programs, some PsyD, I think most MPH programs, some PsyD programs. But you have to make sure that you know what your target program's requirements are. Obviously, if some require the test and some don't, you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to prepare for it. But what should you do if your target schools are test optional or you're applying intentionally and exclusively to test optional schools? What if you really have that choice? The test is either entirely optional or all up to you. You know, you have test waiver optionals, right? So again, the test is either entirely optional or your programs have test waiver options. What should you do? Should you jump up and down because you do not need to pay for, sit, or study for this exam? Maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. If you have a great academic record, as well as all the other experiential must-haves and nice-to-haves that your program seeks, yes, jump up and down for joy. You probably are fine applying without the exam. Those are the people who the schools would be happy to accept, and they won't pay that much attention to your exam. If, however, your undergraduate record reflects underachievement on your part or is below average or lacking in some way for the programs that you're applying to, you probably need the test score to present evidence you can handle the program. And I'm sorry to say it, but you will probably enhance your chances of acceptance by studying, paying for, and taking the exam. It's probably not what you want to hear, but I'm supposed to be a reality check sometimes. Now, what if you are a bad test taker and your undergraduate record is, again, reflects underachievement on your part or is not competitive at your target programs? Then you probably could better spend your time, money, and energy to show academic ability in other ways. Okay, if the programs you want to apply to don't require the test. So what could that be? Well, I realize medical schools, most are still requiring the MCAT, so this probably is not that germane to you, but you might consider a post-bac program for medical school students. If you're applying to MBA programs, you have more options, right? There's HBS Core for graduate management education. You could consider applying for the CFA or the Certified Financial Planner if it's relevant to your goal. Perhaps just go for graded courses, especially if you're not applying to, you don't have the business options that I just mentioned. We've seen that work very effectively with clients where they take courses in a new field of interest. They get A's in them. It could be an online four-credit certificate program or another degree, or just coursework with A's. The point here is that, again, with the application surge and with some schools going test optional, you have to assess whether you need that test to reinforce the idea that you can do the work in the graduate program that you're applying to. It's just that simple. Okay, so now for the third part of this podcast, episode number 400. I am proud of that milestone. It is a milestone. Most podcasts don't reach it. When we first started Admission Straight Talk back in 2012, I can't say we were regular. You know, we didn't necessarily do it every week. I didn't do it every week. But since then, since 2013, it's been week in and week out. And that's how we got to number 400. And I'm rather proud of that fact. So I'm going to, take advantage of my pride or just use as an excuse to share some thoughts on a higher plane than my usual tactical approach. I think some recognition about events this year, and also some recognition and admiration for you, my listeners and graduate applicants. I'm drawing here a lot on what I've learned by reading and following Rabbi Lord Dr. Jonathan Sacks, who I mentioned earlier. Again, he's a writer, thinker, and teacher whom I admire greatly. And I also mentioned earlier that he passed away in November. In this case, I do feel that I, along with the rest of the world, he was eulogized by people from a broad array of fields and places and geographies, has lost a mentor, a moral voice, and a valued teacher. A few lessons I gleaned from his work and teaching, which I think are relevant to applicants about to embark on a major self-improvement project, and that is what higher ed is, at a very tempestuous time in history, a very uncertain time in history. 2020 was a bad year. I don't want to minimize that. It's true. But there were silver linings amidst the tragedy and the suffering. And yes, there have been, you know, many, many deaths. That means that people are grieving and hurting. I don't want to minimize that, but I do think it's really important to recognize some of the silver linings. It's important to recognize those who showed up with heroism and courage every day, day in and day out, the essential workers in hospitals and grocery stores, truckers, whatever their field, that just kept on going. Now, Rabbi Sacks pointed out also that the pandemic is one of the few times in history when all of mankind, including those essential workers, was fighting the same enemy. Despite the divisions and divisiveness in other areas in our time, and even despite the disagreement that existed and exists about how to fight COVID, we all had the same enemy. And this is possibly the first and only time in history where that was true. Let's recognize and celebrate this fleeting and, yes, admittedly tenuous unity. One result of the pandemic, I think, is a little humility on the part of mankind. A tiny microbe, tiny, tiny microscopic microbe, is throwing us for a loop. And with all our sophistication and our technology and our travel to the far corners of the universe and galaxy, we had to pause and regroup. We had to realize that we are not always in control. Now, while a little humility is a good thing, paralysis is not. And one of Rabbi Sacks' fundamental beliefs and teaching, which I definitely share, is that we are empowered to change and improve. Our destiny is influenced by events and by our past, but not determined by them. We always have the choice of how to respond, and we should never give up hope as we attempt to create a brighter and better future. Now, education is fundamentally about improvement, and your applying and pursuing an education shows your commitment to improve yourselves and society. And that too needs to be recognized and celebrated. For those of you dealing with either prior academic issues or obstacles to the pursuit of your dreams, you may need to work a little longer or a little harder to get you where you want to go. But in most cases, you can get there or you can get awfully close to it. Because you can change. Again, your past is not your future and doesn't dictate your future. You can change. Finally, as his daughter eloquently stated at his funeral, Rabbi Sacks firmly believed that problems are there to be addressed and solved, not merely put up with. Again, he firmly believed in the power of change and in our ability to change. And I know that so do many of you, because I've had the privilege of reading and reviewing many personal statements, statements of purpose, and application essays. They frequently discuss how you want to use your graduate education to solve a problem, to improve yourselves and society, and to contribute. Now, as we move deeper into 2021, please don't lose that commitment to self-improvement. And as Admission Straight Talk returns to its regular programs with little or no pontification from me, I'd like you to give yourselves a pat on the back and celebrate both your ability to change and your commitment to self-improvement, as evidenced by your pursuit of additional education. Congratulations for not letting the turbulence of 2020 stop you from pursuing your dreams and improving the world in 2021 and beyond. Thank you for joining me. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.